Hello everyone, welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy presentation of ITIL for IT Professionals. My name is Nathan Lesnowski, and today we're going to be talking about configuration and asset management. We'll be talking about how configuration and asset management impacts your life as an IT professional and how it can practically implement in your business. So what is configuration and asset management? What is this all about? Configuration management is about the what. It's about what am I deploying? What am I delivering to my customers and what's it made up of? So if I were to say that I'm in the business of IT to deliver databases, your end user is going to be like, what's a database? Or to say I'm in the business of IT of delivering a Cat5 cable, you know, that's not really what the end user cares about, right? But what they are interested in is they're interested in ordering an application through your business. Or they're interested in sending an email, or they're interested in communicating with one of their business partners. They're thinking about what you deliver to them as a business service, as a thing that they're using from IT, that you're delivering to them, that they asked for, that's making them more productive, but it's a business service. Configuration management is about taking those business services that you deliver to your customers that we've articulated and we've talked about in the strategy for our business. We talked about its configuration that we're planning in our service design. We talked about how we push it out into production. Configuration management is about talking about what is the structure of that application that I deliver to my business users after launch, and how do I maintain that configuration over time that allows for me to be able to support it in an effective way, but also know what the relationship between that thing that I'm supporting is to the business service that the users are actually consuming. It allows for me to be able to maintain documentation after the launch versus simply worrying about the documentation that was written 3 years ago that now is out of date. It also allows for me to be able to maintain that information in a way that it helps me in my daily work processes. So if someone calls up and says, I've got a problem with this application that I'm using, you can say, okay, I understand that you're having a problem with that application. And then you can say, okay, I know when he mentions the customer ordering application, I can look at my configuration diagram and see that it's on this particular server. That management of the configuration in respect to the business service facilitates you supporting your end user without having to talk technology with the end user. It gives you that real business-facing interaction with the configuration information that you need to be successful. Configuration management has a real goal around being updated automatically. If you were to backpedal maybe 5 years ago, what I used to hear when I would go to these ITIL sort of service management meetings would be that you'd have a lot of people talking about using practices like change management as a gate to update the configuration management content manually. Back at that point, they saw configuration management as important, but they didn't have the tools necessary to be able to maintain the information manually. So it really wasn't as useful to them. And also people had a hard time trusting it, because anytime you're updating configuration information manually, you tend not to trust that information. You tend to want to go and validate it. So for example, if I'm looking at a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet contains a list of IP addresses and names of servers and configurations of those servers, and it was last updated by this guy, I don't necessarily know if I can trust him, because you know maybe he knew this part of the business, but he didn't know this other part of the business. I'm probably going to go out and maybe at least ping that IP address, or maybe log into it and check to see if it's actually relevant. I might not just use that spreadsheet that I wrote. That's the problem with old-style configuration management. People invested a ton of time in maintaining it. In some cases, many, many full-time engineers dedicated to maintaining configuration management, but people didn't trust the information because it was maintained automatically, manually. What we want to go toward is a configuration management program that's maintained automatically, where the information in the configuration database is maintained through a continuous or regular feed from my systems that I can then not only just use for my own information, but I can also use when I'm automating against that information. Configuration management then takes on a whole new meaning in my business. It allows for me to be much more successful at automating tasks that were previously manual. All right, so here's a couple examples of configuration items. We have things like a Windows computer. That's sort of obvious, right? A Windows computer is the name of the Windows OS on that's running on a piece of hardware, like Cincy W8A. Another configuration item might be something that's nothing like a physical device. It's a database, right? Like Cincy SMDB, that's the name of a database that's running my Service Manager instance that's sitting on a SQL server. Or maybe a web application pool. Someone said, hey, what's the application pool in IIS that runs Cincy Wallet? Well, it's this Cincy Wallet application pool, right? So the idea behind configuration management is that it's used by a lot of different teams to manage the information that's important to them. A person who's primarily end user client computing devices really isn't as interested in things like databases or web application pools. Whereas if your job is focused on databases, and that's all really you do, is you're a DBA, you focus on supporting applications, you want them to perform well, go faster, you want to back them up and all these things, you're not so interested on the Windows computer, you're really more interested in databases. So the idea is, this database is a universal database for us to have our configuration information stored in. So rather than having all sorts of Visio documents, Excel spreadsheets that are dedicated to certain teams, we're putting that information in one database that then allows us to have one universal place where that information is. Also, what's really cool about it is if a person says, hey, you know, I'm a database admin, I want to go work at a different company, that's fine. I can hire another database admin and they can log into my CMDB and they can get the information that was relevant to my business. So the other person can feel free to go off and do the new job that they want to do. And this new database admin will have the same information that'll be up to date on a regular basis. It really provides me a good deal of protection and integrity of the information. Also, I have an idea of asset management. So like, how is asset management different than configuration management? Asset management is really an entitlement. It's something that I purchased or am receiving as a service or an agreement from another business. So for example, an entitlement might be a physical piece of hardware that I've purchased. It might be a software product that I've purchased or I'm leasing. It might be a service entitlement, like I have for 3 years access to this amount of network bandwidth from my local network carrier. I might have a warranty that's associated with my servers. I might have pricing information that I'm entitled to based upon a purchase of something else. These things are basically dependencies for my configuration items. So for example, my workstation runs on a physical asset. My Windows operating system, Cincy W8A, runs on my physical asset of my Asus laptop, right? So it allows for me to be able to have this relationship with a physical piece of hardware. Maybe I'm running on a server in my data center that's running my Hyper-V operating system. That physical data center asset is hardware that has a support agreement. It has a serial number, it has a relationship to its physical drives that sit in it, it has a relationship to a warranty, it has all these things that are tied to it. And just because I've installed an operating system on it doesn't mean the asset isn't something different that I'm trying to maintain and manage. Another idea might be something like a printer relationship, where I've bought a whole bunch of printers and I've got this company that comes out and maintains these printers every week or every couple weeks, and I can call them up and they'll replace toner and these different things, right? So I have these relationships, these service entitlements tied to these physical pieces of hardware in these printers, as well as maybe some services that are tied to them. I should also note something like software. So a lot of times when people really think about asset management, it's kind of in one of two cases. They're either being audited tied to their physical hardware, or most likely to be audited tied to their software. They're trying to say, how many versions of Bloomberg am I running? How many versions of AutoCAD am I running, or Adobe Pro, or whatever that software is, right? They're kind of interested in what I have in my business. So the idea behind asset management is I want to show the relationship between the software I run and the entitlements I have to run that software. Show me information about those relationships. That's sort of where asset management comes in. So what are some Microsoft tools that allow for us to act on this? Well, a couple of them. System Center Service Manager provides me with capability for configuration and asset management. It also is served by Operations Manager. Operations Manager brings in configuration items into my configuration management database for me to be able to manage. Also, other parts of the System Center suite do as well, such as System Center Configuration Manager as well as Virtual Machine Manager. These two other tools also can bring in asset information in the CMDB. Let's say that you have information coming from outside sources, like a hardware vendor. A lot of companies I'm working with, they have a hardware vendor that ships them new physical pieces of hardware, and they show up at their dock, and they may even keep 20 of them in their sort of storage location until they're deployed. Asset management in this space allows for me to be able to contain that information inside of Microsoft Service Manager and have that brought over through perhaps a CSV that's sent to my customer through their hardware vendor. So it allows for me to be able to even bring information in outside the context of other Microsoft tools and bring it in through open data systems connectors or through a CSV. So let's go into a demo environment, and I'll walk through a couple examples of this. Okay, so now I'm inside of my demo environment for System Center Service Manager. Inside of my demo environment, I'm inside of an area called Configuration Management. Configuration Management then contains configuration items, which could be almost any kind of configuration item I can think of. So if we were to start at something very abstract and then go to something very physical, we can start at business services. Now we've talked about business services at length. This is that abstract object that describes the thing I deliver to my customers, such as my portal services or my customer relationship management or my customer ordering services and so on. And that business service has a relationship to the customer components. So I can say, here's my computers group with my two computers on which that service runs. Here's my website components group, which is the IIS web server. And then my database components group, which contains the database of Cincy Wallet. So my service has relationships to the overall topology of components inside of my CMDB that serve that service. So if I would go outside the sort of abstraction and talk about some other physical things, let's maybe go straight into something like a Windows computer. So if I were to go to all Windows computers, this is going to be a list of all 568 individual Windows computers in my business. And what I can say is, okay, let's talk about NL W8A. This is my individual workstation that I'm running at this given point. I also have an older PC in there that was running Windows 7. I can see in this interface that my PC is a ASUS Tech, and then I also have it's a UX31A. And then I can also see that it's not a virtual computer. That allows for me to be able to have good information from one view, and I can also see it inside of its own view. So if I look at this particular computer, I can see I'm the primary user of this computer. That information is received from SCCM. So SCCM goes to that computer, it detects who the primary user of that computer is, and then brings that information back into the CMDB. I can then use that primary user information to be able to reconcile the asset relationships that I have for that computer. So for example, if I were to deploy a computer to an individual, I'm probably going to deploy that computer to a person who has a cost center and has a relationship to a business unit. I might even be interested in charging back to that individual. Well, the person who I initially give that computer to isn't always the person who's actually using that computer. Maybe it's a sort of person who's the overall manager, but then people within his department might use several computers. So this allows me to have a relationship between the custodian, but also have the primary user of that computer updated based upon usage. You can also see when it was last inventoried, its Active Directory site that it lives at, the operating system name, its manufacturer. And then down at the bottom here, I can see things like whether or not 64-bit or 32-bit, really useful information for when I'm doing things like software deployment. Also CI information, like noting that this computer has a custodian of Nathan Lesnowski, as well as its primary user. I have this particular workstation software information and hardware information. So it talks about its individual processor, its network adapters, its physical hard drives. I have the software that's installed on it, so I can say, for example, each of these software items are unique software value within the system, and then they have relationships to this computer. So then when I'm talking configuration management, I can say, show me all the software that's installed on this computer and when it was installed. And I can also look at it from a reverse view and say, show me every computer that has a particular piece of software installed on it. Very, very useful. As well as information about security updates and missing software updates. So that's very helpful. I have the relationship also between this Windows computer and the work items. So I can see, for example, that this particular Windows computer has had a variety of problems with its wireless not working. So those individual work items then cause me to be able to understand this particular user's plight when he calls in for a third time about his wireless internet not working. And I can say, oh, looks like you've had a variety of times your wireless internet hasn't worked. And there might be a user training issue or there might be a hardware issue. I can even do things like report against brands of computers that have had particular types of problems. So I could say, this particular model has had this particular issue occur on a regular recurring basis, and I haven't been able to do anything about it. I can also see the historical record of a particular computer. I find the historical record of computers to be super useful because let's say somebody calls in the morning and they say they're having a problem with a particular application that's running on a particular server. So I could say, okay, looks like your workstation got this particular update, got an update for Office. Maybe Office is how he accesses this system. So I can look at that update and see if it's caused a problem on his computer in respect to this particular application. Or I could say, looks like he installed something that wasn't really appropriate on his computer. So for example, I might use a reverse view to say, show me all the computers that are running unauthorized applications. So for example, show me all the computers that are running Call of Duty and Modern Warfare. Here's an example of an individual inside of my business who's running Call of Duty Modern Warfare on his computer that's used for work. Well, I might not be super okay with that, right? Because it's a work computer and maybe he should be playing that at home. So I can remove that particular piece of software from his computer. Or I could say, show me all the computers that are running SQL. And I want to be able to understand that from a SQL licensing perspective and be able to look at all those computers and be able to total up my SQL licensing that's appropriate for my business. If I were to look at something very much unlike a computer and unlike software specifically, I could look at something like a SQL database. If I select my SQL databases, I can see all my different SQL databases. I have 284 SQL databases inside of Concurrency, and I can look at my Concurrency Profile DB and see all this information about my profile. So if I'm a database admin, I can understand this particular configuration item and know that I now have to manage it. And when I look at my workload, I can say, my number of databases that I manage on a daily basis has gone up from perhaps 150 to 200 or 200 to 284 or 284 to 300. That allows me then to be able to reconcile the work that I do on a daily basis against the things I'm managing. That also allows me to be able to present realistic numbers to people who are managing my area of the business. It also allows for me to be able to manage other aspects of my environment as well. So if it's a printer or it's a DNS server or it's a deployed computer or it's a SharePoint environment, I can organize all these different types of configuration items inside the context of my configuration database. I can also organize Azure virtual machine configurations. So for example, if I'm managing my public cloud environment, I also use Service Manager to manage the configuration of my public cloud environment. That public cloud config can be articulated inside the context of my configuration database. So for example, my concurrency-based virtual machine has a VM endpoint port and VM configs that is the base VM that I deploy inside of Azure. So it allows for me to articulate that. So whether my infrastructure lives on-premise or it's living with a service provider like Azure or it's living inside of something like a public interface that's delivering me software as a service, I can maintain those configuration items that I manage inside the context of my configuration management database. I can also contain things like assets. So for example, if I'm maintaining hardware asset information, I'm going to be very interested in physical asset names. So in this case, I have a physical asset called Concurrency HV23. It has a primary user. It has a Hyper-V host description. It also has a manufacturer. So I can say, show me all the R710s that have had relationships to individual work items like hard drive failures. So I can see information about physical pieces of hardware and the work items that are related to them to be able to correct certain statuses. I can also understand what my particular hardware statuses are, how much information, how much time's left on its lease, as well as information about its location, what organization ultimately it's related to, and my associated configuration items. Things like organization can be really useful for relationships like chargebacks. So I'm saying this physical asset is owned by Concurrency or it's owned by a sub-organization of Concurrency. It allows me to be able to understand what parts of the business are costing the most money or even relationships between assets and their overall business services that they serve. So then I can say, this business service has these two virtual machines that run this particular Hyper-V host and take this amount of cost and bubble that up. That's something that Microsoft has done a really good job of articulating, because Microsoft is really focused on being a service provider and allowing service providers to be able to get the information necessary to be able to charge back their customers. We can use that same investment that Microsoft's making for service providers and bring that investment into the enterprise as well as the medium business. So we can use that across all three different types of businesses and use it perhaps in a slightly different way, but use it in a way which allows us to be able to make good business decisions, because not only could we be chargeback oriented, but we might only be charge showing oriented. So what's that called? What's the idea behind that? Is it allows for us to be able to say, this business service is costing me a particular amount of regular reoccurring virtual machine cycles that have a cost associated with them. So that allows for me to make better business decisions as to whether or not I want to maintain that business service or not. So this business service may not be very important to me. Maybe only two people use it, and maybe it's taking up an entire hardware asset in my data center, or it's taking up a set of Azure VMs that are costing me a pretty significant amount on a regular reoccurring basis. When I can put a number associated with what I deliver to my customers in the business, it allows for me to be able to articulate that to them and then for them to be able to make business decisions about it. When you don't know what something costs, it's very difficult for you to make a business decision because it just feels like a black box. It doesn't feel like you actually have the information necessary to be able to differentiate between what's valuable and what's not. So I hope you see that configuration management in this context allows me to be able to articulate that information for my business users. All right, so now we've shown some examples of configuration management and asset management in action, let's talk about what we can do now. So some practical questions to ask. First, do I have configuration management in place? Do I have a tool that's bringing information from my operational environment into a CMDB that I can then use to make decisions? Or am I working off of spreadsheets and Visio diagrams? Do I know if I'm compliant with software? Do I have to run a map tool to be able to go out and determine if I'm compliant with software? And then it's a total surprise. The idea is that when a software vendor comes in to be able to evaluate whether or not you're compliant with your software agreement, you should already know. You should be able to say, here's the number of software versions or number of software individual copies that I'm using of your software product in my business, and I've gotten this information as of yesterday's input into my CMDB. If you're armed with that kind of information, you can make those decisions before the person even gets in the door. Also, do you know if your assets are covered with a warranty or if they're covered with a support agreement? And if so, for how long? It's also very useful for things like lease agreements. The idea is that configuration management and asset management allows you to be the steward of what you're delivering to the business in an informed way. It allows you to make business decisions. And if you start to ask some of these questions, it really shows you how configuration management, even by itself, can be very helpful. All right, so what are we going to do next time? Next time, we're going to talk a little bit about knowledge management. Knowledge management is the last thing that we're going to talk about that's going to help us to prepare for supporting services once they move into the service operation phase. Knowledge management facilitates us having a place to put common knowledge so we can support our end users when they call in to the service desk.